day, everyone. This is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up Here with Francine on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcast. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chad. And Chad, I am still fired up from last week's podcast.
Good day. Cheerio. Wow.
It was a doozy, man. We try to plan out what we're doing ahead of time, and we had picked like a different number for each episode, and we fell into the rabbit hole with one particular story, and it took the full hour, and it infuriated me, and I went off a little bit, so I do apologize, but I'm very passionate about certain things, and you know, being a mother and having children, you know, the safety and concerns for minors is something that is very important to me because I have two little ones. And, you know, it triggered me. It really did. And if you don't know what I'm talking about and you didn't listen to last week's episode, go back and listen to it after you listen to this one, because it was good. It was really good. And it came from the heart, and it was unbelievable. But if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, we're diving into the past of Vince McMahon, WWF/WWE scandals. And we're continuing today because we only got through like 1.5 of them.
we say that didn't even scratch the surface.
We didn't scratch the surface. And this might be a 12-parter, but you know, if you guys are digging this comment, That's what we're doing it for. So just thought it was kind of interesting to go back in time and talk about things that you either forgot happened or you didn't know that happened. And a lot of these things I did not know. So it's intriguing to me. Now, again, going to use the word allegedly because neither Chad nor I were there at the time that any of this stuff happened. But this is all on record. This isn't breaking news. We're not, you know, coming at you with a news story. These are scandals from the past that have been, you know, penned years ago, some 30 years ago. And we're just bringing them up and discussing them and giving our two cents about it. So we're going to continue.
Whew, man, I'm still trying to catch my breath listening back to that episode. You were fired up, but rightfully so. I mean, anybody who can take themselves out of that bubble and put yourselves in the real world, you might.
No voice.
Better?
Yep.
I think I just hit the mute button. All right.
Oh, okay. Okay, you froze. Good. You're good.
Okay,
you're
right. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody who can actually, you know, remember this part of the story with Vince McMahon, this was one that kind of came back after years, and you always wondered what had happened to this individual. And when the story was brought to light, it gave you a little context. But this one also went away for a long time and came back in the recent days of the Vince McMahon scandals and cover-ups and payouts. And we're talking about Rita Chatterton, the wrestling referee, the WWF's first female referee. 1986 made her a referee debut in the WWF on WWF TV. I remember seeing her and couldn't believe there was a WWF referee. I started watching in 1987. So when I saw the clips from 86 and saw a female referee, I didn't get it because if you blinked, she was gone.
So how long was she actually, you know, there?
The actual timeline that she was there as a referee was, and I will pull that up for you as we speak because I want to be precise. She makes her television debut in January 1985.
Okay.
And she, let's see, by mid-86, she's gone.
Okay, so allegedly, she's saying that Vince McMahon, I don't think we can use that word, but Vince McMahon assaulted her, forced himself upon her in a limousine in 1986.
Correct.
So right after this happens, she gets fired.
Correct.
Apparently, because then she's not there anymore, right?
Yes.
So according to Rita, that's her name, right?
Yes.
Rita, yep. According to her, she met Mr. McMahon in his limo, and then he forced himself on her, not once, but twice, she right. says. And then he fired her by invoking a rule about her not being allowed to fraternize with coworkers. So let me get this straight. He forced himself on her twice. Wouldn't that mean he was fraternizing with her and not the other way around?
Makes no sense.
Because when he says, you know, fraternizing with the coworkers, what incident is he bringing up? Think about that. Is yeah. is it the limousine incident where he's saying, you know, they had relations and I'm a coworker, she shouldn't have did it, right? Well, yeah. did she have a choice not to do it?
Usually like, in that situation, there's no choice that's given. No choice.
You're being sexually assaulted. I'm sure he didn't say, well, Rita, would you like to have sex with me now? No? Okay, I'll stop. No, according to her, he forced himself on her two times.
Yeah.
So to me, he's fraternizing with her. And she gets fired because of it. Because and uses that excuse. But there's nothing else that's pulled up. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't say, well, in Albany, New York on January 15th, blah, 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 I saw Rita touching the butt of another well-known WWF referee. Like, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the story behind her being fired? What was in print? What was the reason? This is very vague to me.
It's weird. There's her whole story has a lot of missing parts. It feels like, you know, it's like, now wait, just repeat that again. What part of it feels vague? That the release part
where he says she was fired
for fraternize. Okay.
She's not being allowed to fraternize with the coworkers.
Right.
So usually you give an example.
Right.
Right. What's the example that was given? To me, if it's her being with Mr. McMahon, he forced himself on her. It wasn't the other way around.
Yeah, there's two. I heard fired for cause, but also that she did resign from the company.
What is the cause?
That's the million-dollar question. What's the cause?
Yeah, well, what is the reason? There's no reason given.
I don't know.
So if there were examples, if she was out of line because she... you know, maybe slept with, and this never happened. I'm just making up scenarios before anybody freaks out on me. But if she was accused of sleeping with a fellow wrestler, or which is very common, I mean, everybody dates everybody because you're always on the road. So that statement is ridiculous to me. Fraternizing with coworkers, everybody fraternizes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if there were specific instances, why weren't they laid out? What's the real reason? Why did she get fired? Was it because of the limousine incident? Like what? This to me, it's very vague.
Weird. She's got a weird story overall. Okay.
I'm not saying I don't believe her.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. And obviously, look, the payoffs, when you get paid off the amount of money that she's gotten paid, there's obviously something to the story.
So go into that. So she gets fired, right? And is it like is she told to keep her mouth shut and Vince will give her so much money?
So, but what I'm saying is, so her brother wanted to be a wrestler. Okay. Her brother passes away. Okay. Huh. So she wants to be, she'll carry on her brother's dream. Okay. But then she suffers a collapsed lung and can't be a wrestler. So she trains to become a referee. Okay, so that's how she becomes the first ever female wrestling referee when she's signed by the WWF. When she joins the WWF, guys in the back don't want her. There's agents that don't want her. They want the boys to injure her. They're not receptive to the wrestling referee. What?
Because she's female.
But if you're Vince and you're expanding at the rate he was in 1985, you go, okay, we're blowing this place out of the water. We're making wrestling this worldwide extravaganza. I'm going to have the first female referee. He gets her in Cosmopolitan magazine, which, you know, at the time, Cosmopolitan, that's a great feature, right? That's a great publication.
Still is.
Yeah, but you know, when people were actually reading magazines, like picking it up off the newsstand, that's a great place to be featured, right? And they get behind her. It's just, it's crazy to think that you're this. And they, when they used to do the Tuesday Night Titans talk show, which was Vince's Johnny Carson-esque one-on-one chatting where you got to find out the personalities of the superstars. You just don't go from being a featured player and the first ever female referee to boom, you're gone. Boom, you're erased from history. You're allegedly paid off and we don't know why. So as this went away and away from history in 92, when we talked about on last week's episode, the Ring Boy scandal, the steroid scandal, and all that stuff came back to light. Well, so did Rita Chatterton with her story about the Vince McMahon alleged assault in the back of the limo.
Okay, but my question to you is, do we know how much she was paid off?
So we found out later on it was something to the effect of 11. The lawsuit was $11.75 million in damages. Let me see, what year was this? 90.
But she didn't get that.
That was in June, but that was all the way in June 92. June 22, excuse me.
Right, but it says here that McMahon pledged not to pay her. So did she ever get that amount?
I thought they settled. I thought she got a payout.
It said on November 3rd, the lawyer for Chatterton said McMahon sent McMahon a demand letter for $11.75 million with McMahon pledging not to pay her. And then...
I thought she got paid out. I thought she 100% got paid out.
It doesn't say here if she got paid out or not. It just says that he said he wasn't going to pay her. But is that considered hush money? Or is that the 11 mil, is that because she suffered... You know,
that's damages.
Just like Janelle Grant. Yeah, she couldn't eat. She was sick. She couldn't leave her house. Blah, 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 blah. Same thing. Loss of wages, that type of thing. It wasn't necessarily hush money. Like, was she ever paid any hush money after? Because she was just fired.
Like, yeah, the exact sum of the multi-million-dollar settlement with Rita Chatterton, which was completed last month, was undisclosed. The settlement extends a run of payments released to the sexual misconduct allegations involving McMahon that totaled $19.6 million before the latest agreement. So when they revealed he had paid out all that money, she was a part of it.
I'm just wondering how much she got. And if after, you know, after allegedly what happened in the limo happened, did he say to her, okay, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars. Don't tell anybody. And then she sang like a bird. And...
Yeah, that I don't know. But this one now I see something that says $7.5 million.
Right. Okay. So she got paid something.
This one says how much. In 2018.
2018?
This one says in 2018 she got 7.5.
God, it took how many years to get paid?
Holy settlement crap. With Chatterton comes after a $7.5 million settlement with McMahon was reached in 2018.
Wow. 7.5, you said? 7.5 mil? That's a lot of money.
Chatterton alleged in a 1992 interview that McMahon told her she needed to satisfy him if she wanted to receive a $500,000 contract with WWE and then assaulted her in the back of a limousine in New York. Chatterton's attorney said in November, demand letter that she had passed a polygraph test and multiple sources had corroborated her account to whom the Wall Street Journal told Chatterton contemporaneously told them about the alleged assault.
A referee made $500,000?
Yeah. Wow. That's 1985, $500,000.
Maybe because she was the first woman, they were going to push her to the moon because she was the I mean, that's a big accomplishment to be the first female referee in the business.
Well, they've erased her from history. So Jessica Carr, current WWE referee, is the first female referee, according to WWE.
Well, that's not true. But Anyway, this to me, another sad story, you know, a very sad story. You do this to keep your job, or you do this to get that contract, and it's not right. It's not right. If she was talented enough, you know, to get the position and keep the position, you know, and she loses her job. He assaults her and then she loses her job. What happened between that time period? Well, is she let go because it's glooming over his head that I just assaulted somebody? I can't have her around here.
Probably.
I made a poor choice, a bad judgment. Like, what is going through Vince's mind after this happens?
That's at a time where he's doing everything right. He's clicking on all cylinders.
Was he ever known to, you know, be under substance abuse, or was there any stories about Vince, like with drugs, or
there had been rumors that he may have partaken in a couple of substances that were the color white.
Okay. All right. So let's see. You have this queued up.
All right. This is when she came forward in 1992. This was a part of Geraldo Rivera's
very
Now
weird
It Can Be Told. Right? I believe it's Now It Can Be Told.
This is a very weird screenshot, by the
way. Oh, that's a good Jimmy Hart, late great Virgil, Hawk.
That's
Animal.
It's very weird. It's weird the way every wrestler's positioned, and Vince is just like, yeah, I don't know.
He's like, hey.
In the middle, like, I don't know what's going on.
Did you ever hear what Virgil can do to himself?
I thought that was Lanny Poffo.
No, Virgil can do it too, apparently.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon has refused all invitations to respond to these charges.
Vince McMahon may not have been talking to us, but plenty of other people were.
Next thing I know, Vince unzipped his pants.
This woman claims McMahon told her sex was part of her job.
That was worth $500,000 a year.
Her story when we continue our investigation in a moment.
His pants. And he took my hand and he kept putting my hand on his penis. He started telling me that he knew I didn't have a job. I had left Frito-Lay because of him. He knew that I had a daughter and that he could either make me or break me. The choice was mine. And he made me have oral sex with him. And he started to get really excited. And I pulled away. And he got really angry and said that it was worth $500,000 a year. And when I said no, he said that I'd better satisfy him. And he started pulling my pants off. And he pulled me on top of him. And he satisfied himself through intercourse.
Afterwards, Rita Marie said she worked for the WWF only 3 or 4 more times. And the single mother of a teenage daughter says she kept silent about McMahon's advances for almost 6 years.
I held off for a long time because of my parents. Both of my parents were very ill. My mother died a year ago. My father died 2 weeks ago. Okay. Between not having to worry about my parents' health and with other people coming forward, God, I just hope somebody listens.
Rita says she is trying to reach an out-of-court compensation settlement with McMahon, perhaps inspired by the success of a...
So when she says with other people coming forward, who is she referring to?
I think that's in reference to all the Ring Boy scandal and Murray Hodgson and all the other stuff. Because he and Tom Cole, they're the other ones that are interviewed on this special. Now, here's if we reference the stuff talked about in 2024, 2023, very much in line with his moves that were made on Janelle Grant. The pulling down of the pants, the way he talked, that is how it was described in the court filings that were released, where if you read them line by line, very much almost identical to how it was described.
We'll go back and Greg Valentine's.
Oh, Greg Valentine's.
Greg Valentine's in this story. So apparently he told the Wall Street Journal, because they shared a parking lot in Albany, New York, right?
Yeah.
So I guess they were neighbors or something.
No, they smoked a J. I think it was at a show.
Oh, they shared a joint. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. They shared.
They smoked the doob.
So I thought they shared a parking lot. Like they parked their cars there. Okay. So they shared a joint in a parking lot in Albany. He didn't believe the story because he didn't believe that she was attractive enough for Vince McMahon to make a pass at her. When did that ever stop a man from assaulting a woman? You tell me. When did that ever? Oh, well, I only do tens. I only assault tens. You're a five. Get out of here. When did that ever happen? Come on. Unbelievable.
Well,
that quote infuriates me.
If you watched back in the day, the TNT show, I mean, Vince did fawn over her. Very much so, you know, when she's on the talk show, the TNT show, he was very complimentary of her looks. Well,
again, he's in character.
I don't know how much of the character he was portraying now, looking back, I have to say. Okay. You know, and you look for glimpses, and we could do a whole nother show on the character coming to reality. But I listen to what he used to say about Elizabeth differently now. I listen to the things he used to say about Tammy differently now. I mean, he would go all in on Sable. I mean, obviously, he was in love with Sable.
Right.
He loved Sable. I mean, this is incredible.
So people have compared his love for women, beautiful women, to him marrying Linda. And he quoted Howard Stern? I think it was the Howard Stern show when he did it the one time. And these girls came walking in. They were beautiful young girls, right? And Howard said something like, "Is that your type?" And he goes, "Well, my wife is my type," which was a great answer.
Great line. Great line.
Answer. But now Linda has a different look than all these females that he's, you know, gushing over. Right?
Yeah.
She's not the typical blonde bombshell like a Sable or a Sunny or something like that. Yet he loved her and he married her. So, you know, saying what Greg said, you know, not his type. What is his type? What is any man's type?
Good point.
A vagina. That's what the type is. They have a vagina.
Boobies.
Boobs and a vagina. So, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Come on. The way I would take it.
You know, but again, listening back to what she said and then reading that filing, a lot of the same things that I read, and now it's in line with the same stuff. So he's got a checklist of things that he likes to do, and it seems like going back 40 years, it's the same way. He likes to have those almost humiliating things he does to the victim.
She was fired anyway shortly afterwards. So because she did what she did, you know, she didn't want to, apparently, is what she's saying. But she did what she did and she still got fired.
Yeah.
So she should have just fought like hell and got out of that limo.
Yeah.
She got screwed two different ways.
Now, $500,000 contract. Did you see the number of how much she got paid on those dates she wrote on the calendar?
$100 on one, $175 on the other. I was like, what?
Where's the $500,000?
Your draw must have been like $2,250. It was terrible. That's terrible. Absolutely horrifying. But it's just me. If I'm putting myself into that position, I'm getting the hell out of that limo, or I'm screaming my head off to draw somebody to come help me. Something. You can take your contract and shove it up your ass. I don't want it. If I have to do something like this, and she had to degrade herself, and she got nothing out of it.
Right.
absolutely nothing out of it. Whereas, you know, the Janelle Grant story is completely different. She was getting lavish gifts. She had a job. She had a nice home. He was, not that I'm saying it was right, but he was taking care of her. But she had to degrade herself over and over again to get that kind of stuff. Which, you know, it's a different scenario. It's a different story. And she still made more money than Janelle. Because this girl apparently got $7.5 million from it.
Right. And she only got the $1 million payoff.
Right. Right. And she didn't have to get dutied on.
That's a good point. I'd have to sit in it. Unbelievable.
What?
I'd have to sit in it.
Oh, disgusting. I don't know. I don't know what's up with these girls. I don't get it. I'm getting out of that limo. I've said this. He's a polarizing figure. He really is. He's scary. He's like, just everybody sees him and the whole room just stops and he just walks through. I've seen it. I've been there. I know. But if I'm in that position, I'm going to tell him to go to hell and I'm going to either get out of the car or run out of that room or something. Just if a scenario is weird, don't do it. Just don't put yourself in that position. Don't get in the car if you're alone with them. Why are they in a limo? Where are they going? Were they going somewhere? Was it parked? I need details. I need to know these things.
Yeah. Was it outside a show? Were they in the backstage area?
Why are they getting in? They want to have a private conversation?
Yeah.
Like, at least when he asked to talk to me, we were walking around the perimeter of the building. So there were other people. Like, I was never.
Eyes, cameras, there's everything.
Everybody was there. And it was still awkward as hell. And I was still on edge with this guy. You know what I mean? Wow. Because he's Vince McMahon.
Right.
He's the boss. He's the leader. He's the power guy. But I mean, you know, somebody tells you, all right, there's a limo in the back. Let's go talk. No, can we just talk over here in the corner where there's 80 million people still in my view? And if something funky happens, not good things are going to happen. Terrible things are going to happen.
See, and I wonder, like, at the time, so let's just say you go to somebody, you know, her ring name was Rita Marie. So let's say you're Rita Marie, you go to somebody, let's just say it's Hulk Hogan, right? Hulk Hogan's the top guy.
Yeah.
You know, is Hulk Hogan going to be the kind of guy who goes to Vince and say, Vince, we got this thing, like, going to the moon right now. Like, we're unstoppable. Like, you can't do something like that, brother. Or is this just going to be a continued fraternity of cover-ups like we heard he did with the Jimmy Snuka murder? Like we heard he tried to basically do with other incidents over time where you just try to push it under the rug. It was such a culture of keep things hush-hush. Was this, I'm doing it in the limo so nobody sees it?
Well, I feel like if this happened for real, right? Again, it's he said, she said.
Right.
If she's a victim and she goes to a top guy and you think that top guy can't be replaced.
Right. Because then he's fearful if he had the
That's
knowledge.
What I'm saying. Like, would that guy actually go to bat for a referee?
Right.
And go up to Vince and be like, oh, you know, that was the wrong thing to do. 100% no. They're not going to lose their push. This chick's on her own.
Yeah.
she, you know, I hate to say it, but she kind of made her bed and now she has the lie in it. None of that was deserving. If what happened happened, it shouldn't have happened. And she's a victim 100%. But why did she get in that limousine? How was she lured into the limousine? Did she ever say it? Did she tell Geraldo?
Not any of the stuff that I remember.
Yeah, like what made her get in a limousine with Vince McMahon?
I don't know.
Why couldn't they discuss something on the phone?
Yeah, I know. Were they going somewhere? Was it, you know?
Yeah, like, Of course he had an ulterior motive, but what's in her head? What is she thinking? And was there any weird conduct that led up to that moment? Was there any kind of lewd gestures or passes being made? Because you don't just break the ice with assaulting someone, with forcing right. someone to, you know, have oral sex and then penetrate you.
Right.
Or, you know, that's not your first move. And if it is, then wow. But I would think this would be something that he was probably feeling out, tried to build up gradually. Did she not see signs? Was there not triggers?
Good point.
I don't know, man. It's just weird. Again, I am so thankful and so blessed that I don't have to deal with this bullshit from men. Because I'm my own boss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. I worry about it for my kids, obviously, when they're old enough, you know, and I'll teach them, like, nothing is worth, you know, degrading yourself for or putting yourself at harm's way, in harm's way. Like, no, you get the hell out of there. You tell them no and you get the hell out of there. Don't put yourself in that type of position. If it feels creepy, it is creepy. Get out.
Incredible. Now, this next one, I want to ask you a question. When did you re-sign, or when did you sign your contract initially?
2006.
Well, what do you remember? What month?
I don't know. Maybe either, I don't know, December of the previous year or January, something like that.
One Night Stand was June 2005.
I did that show. That was a one-off,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So then that makes sense. If you sign in December 2005 and then you stay through mid 2006. Right?
No. I didn't sign in 2005. I did One Night Stand. It was a one night deal.
Okay.
Got the call at the end of the year. We're bringing ECW back.
Got it. You didn't sign.
I know I was done before Halloween because I didn't do the costume contest with the girls.
Got it. Okay.
I know it was done before October. So it had to be early 2006 when I signed.
All right.
And started.
So this story is from January of 2006.
Okay.
So I remember this very vividly. And again, it's a miracle he survived this one. And I don't know how, because maybe if the internet was a little stronger, how it is now, and you have your people who are their independent sleuth investigators going all in on every aspect of an article that's released, maybe it would be. I don't know how he survives this one. And this is the tanning salon incident. Do you recall this as a story back in 2006?
No, and I don't recall anybody speaking about it when I was there. Depending on what month this happened, I mean, it might have been blown over by the time I was on the road with them.
It's January.
Yeah, so no, this was long gone when I signed.
Well, he walked into a tanning salon for his his little tan there in Boca Raton, Florida, that he needed to freshen up, which if you remember Vince McMahon in 2006, that MF-er was tan as can be. And he, again, if you refer yourself back to the Janelle Grant filings, kind of pulled the same moves that he did in those filings in the tanning salon with the tanning salon clerk who was administering his tan session. I don't know how you...
Right.
I've never gotten a tan session done. I'm naturally rosy. I don't need a tan. So I don't need it, right? I get a nice little base on my arms. So what happened in this instance was behind the closed door, he started to show pictures to... Well, he asked for his picture to be taken. And then he started to show pictures to the attendant of his half nude and nude self to the attendant to kind of gauge what was going on. She said it was inappropriate, you know, please stop. And when she closed the door to start the session, he started to get aggressive. He started to try to, you know, move his hands to her behind and then up her body and then under her shirt. And, you know, she pushed him off and then ultimately filed a police report against him. And I believe, what did they ended up, what did they classify this one as? This was, they found probable cause. What did they end up calling this? I think that was it. Maybe it was just the police report. I don't know if he was officially charged with anything for this one. But this was reported in the dirt sheets. This one was literally shared right after it happened. And this is Vince McMahon in a tanning salon in a retail strip mall groping a tanning booth attendant.
The creepiest thing out of this article, it says there was a witness. And it says the witness added, he recalled McMahon staring down he and the accuser from his car in the parking lot for 45 minutes until the police arrived. So if that's true, that's weird. But the way I used to tan frequently in ECW, I've since stopped because it's horrible for your skin. If I do anything, I'll do a spray tan, right? When you go to these tanning salons, and I'm not saying that what the girl said was wrong, but if he's laying in a bed, let's say, okay, again, was he getting a spray tan? Is he laying in a bed or is he doing a stand-up? A spray tan, the attendant stays in the room with you and you have to stand there and you have to be in like a G-string. And the women can go bare-breasted if you want your breast to be sprayed. It's fine. But you should be in a G-string, and sometimes they give you the underwear to wear if you don't want to dirty yours, right? If you go in a tanning bed, they will usually say to you, okay, booth number 2, do you know how to use the bed? You might say, no, I'm not sure. And they'll come in with you. They will not shut the door behind them, but they'll come in with you and they'll say, all you have to do is push this button. And then they leave and the door is closed. Okay. If it's a stand up, there's room for one person in the stand up. So you go in, you hit that thing and you hit the button and you're just standing there for 20 minutes or whatever the time is. You said the door was shut and he began to grope her. So was he getting a spray tan? See, to me, if I'm a judge and stuff, these little facts make perfect sense to the story. Because why was she in the room when the door was shut unless he was getting a spray tan? People might think I'm nitpicking.
No, but that's a pivotal point to the story.
You have to think about this kind of stuff. She would be in the room with him almost naked if she was doing that spray tan. If he was tanning on his own, she wouldn't have shut the door behind her. There's no reason to. So how did he grope her? Not saying she's a liar. And I like the way that Stephanie chimes in. Yes, he's a Tanzibar regular. Thanks, kid. Thanks for adding to my misery. You know what I mean? But think about that. I'd be a hell of an investigator. Because these are just little points that these stories aren't picking up. You know?
Yeah, it just refers to her as booth attendant. It doesn't say spray or...
And I know because I went for years and years and years. They never shut the door behind you if you're laying in a bed. And if you're in a capsule, which is the stand-up one or whatever they're called, there's no room for two people. So when you shut that door, it's only you in there. Like Vince couldn't have got in the thing with the girl. He would only be in there. You know what I mean? But the room that you get the spray tan in, now she shut the door and Vince is in there, then I can understand maybe that. So maybe he got a spray tan. I don't know. I'm just nitpicking here. I'm just, you know, for the case, I'm just wondering why was the door shut? You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's no way he fondled her in the lobby. Because then there's usually a big window or something that people could see in, or there might be people in the lobby waiting for their turn so that he didn't do all this shit in the lobby.
Maybe right? He said, I need to know how to use the machine or I know how.
But you don't shut the door. They never shut the door behind them. That's a private thing.
Maybe because it's Vince McMahon. He wanted to be.
You must shut the door and show me where the button is.
Yeah, maybe that's what, maybe he did something like that. But then he wanted a picture taken of himself. But now remember, this is 2006. So yeah. We're not taking that's selfies of our, so he's giving her, can you take a picture of me? Maybe that's why the door was closed, right? You take a picture of me. She takes a picture. And then he goes, I have to send it to my girlfriend in New York. Haha. Right? So she takes a picture. Then he says, hey, you want to see these pictures? And he shows the naked and the half naked, whatever. That's when he goes in for the move. And he tries to.
Oh, that's when I say, sir, that is.
Yeah, but she did. She's like, no, thank you. And pushed him off. Like legit pushed him. And he kept coming. He kept going. And she ultimately got out. Obviously, you know, called the police and sat in his car. You know, he didn't go. It's not like he fled. He stayed.
He stayed and tanned.
But, you know, when they reached the newspapers who reached Linda for comment, she called the allegations totally bizarre.
Yeah. Totally.
Are they, Linda?
Are they? Come on now.
You know, she's such an ex. Whoever ends up getting the Linda McMahon interview.
I was just thinking the same thing, man.
Is gonna have like the treasure trove of just quotes and is gonna everything we wanna know.
Do you think that'll happen?
I don't. I really don't. No. I would love for it to happen, but I mean, I gotta think there's gotta be something that Linda was able to contain in him for X number of years that kept him on this like this level plane that they obviously split. They obviously split. And money. This is 2006. You think it was money?
Money. Had to have been money. What woman would tolerate all of this? It's not just one story. And I know it's like for better or for worse, but God, does it get any worse?
It's like for worse or for worser.
What? I mean, really, like, unbelievable. And maybe, you know, maybe she truly loved him, but God, I have to go with money. You know? She probably paying her off now.
Yeah, well, she ultimately wanted to run for office. He bankrolled that, you know? Sure. So maybe that was the deal. Like, look, I'll keep my mouth shut forever. I want to run for Senate in Connecticut. Just bankroll that and I'll shut up.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'm used to paying people off, pal, so I'll take care of that.
Your thing is clicking uncontrollably. Be careful. It's clicking against your necklace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really bad. It keeps clicking. All right.
I'm going to take it off.
Well, okay. I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of. Because, man, you know, you hear one thing, but she's been through the mill. Really. Standing by him, supporting him, and, you know. Again, we don't know what's true and what's not true, but all I have to say is poor Linda.
It's, you know, the whole family now. And obviously Shane has completely removed himself. But now, you know, we're seeing Stephanie has also distanced herself from everything related to.
Well, she should after her name was brought up in the lawsuit with Janelle, right? You don't want to, she's under fire now. You don't want to make any comments that are wrong or can be taken the wrong way. Yeah, go away. Be quiet. Let this simmer down for a while. This is heavy stuff.
It is indeed.
I mean, this family is just beyond wackadoodle. It's just unbelievable the amount of scandals and wrongdoings that they've been accused of. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And that's basically why we just wanted to take a couple episodes because, again, you guys love Vince McMahon and love hearing about Vince McMahon, I should say. And there are so many stories out there and it's just mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. So...
I got to say, like, I still sit and I'll watch the old clips and I'll still watch the stuff from the 90s and I'll still watch Vince at his Mr. McMahon peak.
Yeah.
And I watch him and I go, what was he thinking at that point in time? Where was his mind focused on? Was he focused on, we got to get through this television and we're setting all-time records money-wise and ratings-wise? Or was it, oh my God, I have to go harass this next attendant at blah, 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 or I have to do this and that. So it's weird to watch certain things of him, but I can't not watch the old footage that he was a part of because I love that era. I can't watch new wrestling. I love the old stuff. You know, it's hard. It's hard. It's a weird fine line to walk.
Here's where you have to think about it this way. It goes back to like the Chris Benoit scandal, right? People, the argument is people say how great of a worker Chris Benoit was. And 100%, he was one of the best ever. But the circumstances that happened with Nancy and his son tarnish that view of him. And now it's like, I hate him so much for what he did to his family. But the argument is, does that take away from him being the best that there was in the business? You know what I mean? It's like the same with Vince McMahon. When he was on television, there was nobody better than him. That character, Vince McMahon or Mr. McMahon, that was one of the best things ever. Entertaining, could be hysterical at times, could be disgusting at times. But in your mind, you're saying, oh, it's just wrestling. It's just a work. We're just being entertained. So you laugh it off. But then you hear all these stories and you're just like, well, this angle is kind of real life now. It kind of makes sense to me. Does that tarnish you loving the Vince McMahon character? Because he's such a douchebag, so to speak, allegedly, in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the type of person that could separate the two. I can admit Chris Benoit was a great worker, but what he did in real life is disgusting. Same with Vince McMahon. Arguably, one of the best characters that WWF or WWE ever created. But does that take away from me hating him for the man that he was behind the scenes? I have a different opinion of both. Love watching him on television. Don't like hearing about the scandals behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're either the type of person who disowns somebody because they're just a creep in real life and you don't care what they've accomplished or what they've given to the particular sport or profession that they're in. Or you could separate the two. And I could separate the two. You know, I don't know where you stand, but
I can definitely do it. It's just, okay.
A lot of people can't separate it. And, you know, it does not take away, you being a horrible person doesn't take away of the talent that you had.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll be crucified for saying that, but that's what I believe.
Yeah. I never went out of my way to watch a Chris Benoit match, period. So it didn't really affect my judgment.
See, I just saw him in ECW and how great he was. You know what I mean? Him and Dean and Eddie, classics.
Right.
But that what he did was so despicable, but it doesn't take away from him being a great wrestler. It just proves that he's a shitty human being.
Yeah.
You had problems. Now, I know he had the CTE and all that kind of stuff, but still. It's like, you know, people have a problem separating the two. And, you know,
Jimmy Snuka is another one.
Yeah. For me, Vince will always be that mesmerizing character. And I loved watching him. The strut when he would come to the was so obnoxious, but it was such a heel move and it was perfect. I can still look back and say, man, he was a really good performer. Yeah. But is he a shitty human being? If all this stuff is true, yeah, he is. If true. So again, just my two cents. You might have a different outlook than me, and that's okay, because you know, we will never always agree 100%.
Correct.
So yeah.
And just with Jimmy Snuka is where I just want to end that point, is because he's one of the first guys that I remember ever catching my eye growing up am I supposed to wipe that memory from my mind because of the things that he did that everybody knew of forever, but it came to light years later? Did it make it right or wrong? No, it's wrong. It's not a right or wrong. It's wrong. But the Jimmy Snuka character I watched on TV, I loved.
Yeah.
And that I can't take that away from the despicable guy he was for things he did. But, you know, when I met Jimmy Snuka the handful of times, he was nice to me. And that's the memory I have.
Yeah.
He was bad things he did. Other memories are different memories. So it's all subjective. It's all based on opinion. I have one more follow up on the tanning salon. I found an article that had a little bit extra detail they added. This is the final quote. It says she asked, and this is what they said. This was added later, this detail. She asked him to stop. She said later, after the tanning session, he followed her back into the suite when she went to clean up.
Uh-huh.
He closed the door and started forcibly kissing her. She said that it ended when she pushed him off as he tried to pull her shirt off.
Oh, my God.
So he just went in.
Yeah. Like, well, that makes sense with the door closing then, because anybody who tans knows you don't shut that door when the attendant is in the room. I mean, you're about to strip your clothes off, you know? So they come in, there's usually a towel and the little glasses gimmicks for your eyes, and that door never shuts. So, okay, that makes perfect sense then. There you go.
Picturing him with the little glasses now on, the little tanning glasses.
Yeah, laying there completely naked in all his Vince McMahon glory. Perfect. Cool. I don't know, man. If you're interested, there are more that we didn't touch base on, but we just picked out the ones that we thought would be interesting to discuss. So just an idea that I had, and hopefully you guys like it. If you do, let us know. If you're not following me on iHeart or, you know, subscribed on the other platforms, please give us a follow, give us a subscription, and they're free. Doesn't cost anything. And it lets people know that you like us and you hear. And we appreciate that 100%.
It's the most important part.
Yes.
Showing that you care.
Showing that you care. And also, head on over to YouTube. We need you over there as well. We're slowly climbing up to 11,000 subscribers. We would love to have you on board over there as well. Head over to ECW Diva Francine. And we put up clips, and what's good about it is it's audio video most of the time. So you could see my facials. When I'm disgusted, I do this. You can't see it now because you're listening, but if you go to YouTube, you can see it. But yeah, go on over there. And if you want to be a channel member, it would be $5.99 per month, and you get exclusives that no one else gets. So, but anyway, just subscribe. We'd appreciate it.
Very, very nice.
All right. Well, that was a good one as well. I'm so proud of the work we do on here.
I concur. I completely agree.
Really am. And really, I think we're just coming into our own. You know?
Yeah. I
like it.
Keep those cards and letters safely rolling in, and I'll just keep doing the stable work we're doing.
Let's go. All right. Well, can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, X, the big X, at Chad EMB. And again, yeah, go back to YouTube. Just click that subscribe button. Watch those videos. Like, subscribe, share everything that you see. We want you following us. We want your friends following us. And oh my gosh, how could we forget Facebook?
Yeah, so we made a Facebook page. And you know, because we weren't repping Facebook.
No.
But if you go over to Facebook and type in Teens Eyes Up Here podcast, and you hit, I guess, the like button.
Like there. Or follow. It's like it comes up either way.
Yeah. Mine says like.
Yeah. Some of them say like, some of them say follow. It's okay. Weird.
Yeah. So either like or follow us on there. If you don't have X or you don't have Instagram or whatever, If you have Facebook, you can keep up with us on there. And all of my appearances and everything that we're doing with iHeartRadio or YouTube, it's on there. And Chad does a great job of updating that. Anytime I put something up on X or Instagram, he goes over and puts it right up on Facebook. So go subscribe or follow me or whatever it is, like me over there as well.
Like and follow. Just
like and follow and share, both. Share the joy. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can find me at ACWD for Francine. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.